Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Drum and Drummer, a podcast focused on drums, drumming and drummers. I'm George Pickering and that's Ben Winty, and we are both professional drummers in this business we call music. So stick around and join us as we pass the time whilst trying to stay in time.
It just goes on and on and on, you know, and after a 45-minute set, it could be 90 dB.
And here we are, Drum and Drummer, back in your ears on Thursday morning. Welcome to The Breakfast Show with me, Ben Winty, my co-host, George Pickering. All right?
Best one yet. Best one yet. Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Yeah, well
done. Went sort of Breakfast Show morning sort of vibe on that one.
Well, I got that from the fact that you said welcome to the breakfast show.
Quite a good
giveaway.
But you might not be listening to this at breakfast.
No.
Because this is a podcast, not a live radio show. If you couldn't tell already.
Yeah.
How are you, George?
I'm all right. You good?
Yeah, good. Yeah. You know, enjoying my new drum gear.
Yeah. As am I, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I get to use it again soon because I've been booked for another session with Archie.
Nice.
Archie Mack, to play on a couple of new tunes for him. Studio Diary's filling up, actually.
Nice.
January was took a couple of weeks for people to get going.
Yeah.
And now suddenly it's like, cool, loads of people want to come record. Great.
Yeah.
So that's always nice.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Good for you. sorry, that sounded fascinating.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for you, mate.
No, I know you're happy for me.
I am happy for you. It's great stuff. I'd love to say I'm trying out my new drum gear. I haven't tried it yet. Still haven't. I mean, I will. Next episode, we'll know how good it is, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe next episode, we'll know how it fared on its first outing, which is all things to look forward to. Right, we got a guest today.
Yes, we certainly do.
Someone we met at the UK Drum Show last year, Jono from ACS. We spoke briefly with him when we were there, and you said it at the end of the chat. I feel like it's a beneficial chat to have with someone from ACS, and just because there's many things that drummers do differently, but protecting your ears is something that obviously every drummer should do.
Yeah, definitely. So ACS make custom earplugs and in-ear monitoring, and they do lots of other stuff with all to do with hearing protection in other industries as well. But obviously Jono was at the drum show because, as we all know, drums are bloody loud.
Yeah.
And drummers listening, or people, you know, any music fan or anything with drums, like, we have to remember that they're really loud, and hearing damage and hearing protection is something to be taken more seriously. And I'm going to admit this, something I need to take a lot more seriously because I've been of a bit of a blasé nature about it.
What?
A blasé nature.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear. I didn't know what you said.
Yeah, just, I think, kind of, not responsibility, but, like, this is definitely something we should talk about. And
yeah.
Who better to talk about it with than someone who not only has their own hearing issues from exposure to loud music, but who's now on you know, in a career and a path to help educate others and provide, you know, solutions to.
I'd argue he was the best person to talk to in terms of.
Yeah, I think so. Said,
you know, probably in the world. And that's not being dramatic, you know, in terms of his experience, his knowledge, and his care. Do you know what I mean? I found that interesting. It was sort of like him and others that work at ACS perhaps have a past in music or have hearing loss or something like that. And they go, why wasn't... That was the kind of main theme I found when you listen to this. Sort of, why wasn't this more readily available? Why weren't earplugs seen as, you know, absolute paramount for any musician? So yeah, anyway, we'll just crack on, shall we?
Yeah, here's our chat with Jono Hill from ACS. Enjoy.
How are you? You all right?
Yeah, good. Yeah, busy. Nice. It's tinnitus awareness week this week, so quite a busy one for us and lots of things going on, so yeah, all cool. Yeah.
We met you at the UK Drum Show back in September, introduced ourselves, and being drummers and in the drumming community, and drums being loud as they are, obviously you guys play quite an important role in protecting drummers' hearing. Mm-hmm. But first, can you just give us, for those who maybe don't know who ACS are, who are ACS, what do you do, and what's your sort of role within the company?
Okay, well, ACS, it's 30 years of ACS this year, actually. So we've been protecting ears for 30 years. A lot of people know our brand, really. Custom hearing protection and custom molded in-ear monitors. So sort of glorified earphones for musicians, obviously on stage. So that's what we do. The company was started by my boss, CEO, who was a musician, who actually damaged his hearing and realized there was no help or guidance out there at the time. And he retrained as an audiologist, but he was very interested in protecting musicians' ears. And obviously earplugs at the time were like, you know, you didn't wear earplugs while playing music or listening to music, because earplugs then were like foam earplugs or cotton wool or toilet paper, you know. Mm. So it was all a bit basic. So he developed, he was with partnership with another company, Etymotic Research. He brought to market the first musician's earplug, which was the ER15, which was a 15 decibel linear attenuating hearing protector. So you could still hear the music, but it would extend your exposure time in loud music environments. And this was very well received. And the rest is kind of history, really. We've gone on to protect thousands and thousands of musicians and music lovers' ears over the last 30 years. And my background was as a musician, bass player, so standing next to people like you.
Yeah, but I'm sorry about that.
But unfortunately, I was a drummer, actually. Sorry, rewind. So I wanted to be Cozy Powell. That was my dream. And as a young person, and my dad was into music. And anyway, I experienced sort of bands and stuff like that. And I was just in awe of all the equipment, the drum equipment and the chrome and all of, you know, the setup of a 4 or 5 piece drum kit. So I wanted to be a drummer. So I was bought a drum, a snare drum, and a tune a day book, which I've still got from like 1971 or whatever it was. That was it. So at school, played the drums, learnt drum kit, which was fantastic. Had a teacher playing drum kit, played in the school orchestras. Anyway, wanted to be in a band, desperate. Yeah, wanted to be Cozy Powell. And I've got the single, actually. Na 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 na. I don't know if you remember. I could sing it for you, but I won't. But playing along to James Last Records and all this sort of stuff. So that's what I wanted, to be in a band, wanted to do music. That was my thing. But I couldn't get into a band as a 15, 16-year-old. So there was a band looking for a bass player. And a friend of mine said, well, it's kind of, you're part of the rhythm section. It's sort of the bass and guitar. And because I played a little bit of a Spanish acoustic guitar, they said, well, it's like playing a 6-string guitar, but 2 strings less. It's easy. So I bought a bass and I became a bass player, and that kind of was it. So I was part of the rhythm section forevermore, and went on to play bass professionally. I think I officially was 21, 22, I think, when I first started earning money from that. So, yeah, in the rhythm section, standing next to drummers. But unfortunately, as a consumer of music, but also as a working musician, and some very loud bands and sessions and all sorts of stuff, I damaged my hearing. And 15 years later, at that time, I was aware of after gigs that I'd had ringing or whistling in my head. It's like temporary tinnitus, but just didn't think anything of it, really. It used to go away. And, of course, you couldn't Google it. I've got a whistling ringing in my head. Or my hearing's got all muffled coming out of a club or after a gig. You know, what is that? Google it. Oh, I might be damaging the sensory hair cells in the cochlea. I had no idea. So until it was too late. And then this whistling, ringing, which I've still got now, it didn't go away and it freaked me out. So I had a hearing test and then they showed me that I had, well, the audiologist said, oh, well, you've got noise-induced hearing loss. That's classic noise-induced. Have you worked in the aircraft industry? And I said, no, I've played bass in a band, you know, loved music, going to gigs and clubs and, you know, music's my life. So I said, okay, so I've damaged them a bit. Yeah, that's fine. So if I'll just step out my gigs, stop playing for a bit or, you know, and it'll go away and my hearing will get better. And the audiologist said, no, that's it. That's the damage is done. You may have that whistling in your head for the rest of your life. And I remember it this day walking out onto High Street in London thinking, a lot of swear words.
You can swear on this podcast. It's okay.
Can I? Shit. Yeah, shit. What the f- am I going to do now? You know, it's like I can't do this anymore. And of course, there was no help. I mean, I went to my doctors and of course, their audiological training was very limited when you trained to be a GP. And it was like, well, it's self-inflicted. You know, if I was a classical musician, they might have taken me more seriously, but, you know, you play in rock bands, you know, it's like, yeah, that's what it is. It's too loud. You should have worn earplugs. And it was like, what are you talking about? So it had a big impact on me and my career. And so I actually did stop playing, but I carried on working. I had a studio at home, so I was writing music for audiovisual products and stuff to try and, you know, still keep some income coming in. But I stopped playing live and then had a degree in music. So I thought, well, maybe I could start teaching because I thought, well, what am I going to have to? I'm going to have to get a proper job, you know, as it were. So anyway, but then when I started working in further education and there were some contemporary popular music courses at the time in East London, I realised that nothing was being next generation of music makers. No one was talking about protecting their ears or even it seemed mad that it was a music course and they weren't talking about how the ear works, how it could be damaged or how you could protect yourself. Mm. And I thought this is daft, whereas any other vocational course or further education course, hair and beauty, sports science, mechanical engineering, you know, welding, I don't know, health and safety, occupational health and safety seem to be built in straight away. And if these people were going to were aspiring to work in the music industry, surely they should be informed. And then it's got me thinking, really. I was thinking that, you know, also that young people in the national curriculum were being taught about sex education, alcohol awareness, drug awareness, online cyber security and all this sort of thing, you know, and yet recreational and social listening just generally for young people is a major part of popular culture. Why weren't they talking about it? And if you're a musician, then you're more at risk. So I was on a bit of a mission to do that then. And I started just knocking on some doors, but yeah, a lot of them were shut in my face. But then I met Andy at the NEC. And a friend of mine said, oh, you want to meet this guy? He makes earplugs for musicians. I was like, get out of here. How can you make earplugs for listening to music? He's like, oh, yes. Anyway. And so I started working for Andy as an agent about 14 years ago, 13 years ago. And I then retrained as an event and festival health and safety officer, specializing in noise. I was interested in the noise and, you know, measurement and control of noise and sound at festivals and stuff. And then I joined ACS full time 10 years ago last month on the 6th of January. So there we are, 2014. And here I am now. So I've seen a lot of changes in the culture in the music industry and musicians per se. I mean, even a decade ago, and I was very fortunate to be invited onto some steering group committees for, especially for one charity called Help Musicians UK, partly because I was a musician or ex-musician, but I had connections with the Musicians Union and Musicians Hearing Services. And they were trying to develop a scheme for musicians, a hearing health scheme for musicians. So I was involved with that from the off, which was great. And now that's been running for, I think, 6-7 years. And if you work professionally in the music industry, you can have access through this charity, hearing, you can have hearing screening, hearing tests, and you get ACS custom hearing protection, heavily subsidised by the charity. I've seen a lot of changes,
I think that's what I recently had. I mean, it was with ACS, so I believe it's that scheme, and it was fantastic. I mean, just having my ears cleaned was insane. You know, I didn't realize what was in there, but it was such a brilliant thing. And I think I found out about it through, I mean, I've always been a customer of ACS. I got my first molded custom earplugs about 10 years ago, maybe. I'd had them ever since and never changed them. I think actually even speaking to you at the UK Drum Show, you said every 4 years or so, you know.
The cartilage of the ear continues to grow and change shape. Cartilage of the outer ear, the pinna, goes down the auditory canal to about the second bend, which is where it goes through the hole in the skull.
Yeah.
And it continues to grow and change shape. We recommend getting the seal integrity or the fit tested every 4 years. There's no hard and fast rule on it, but generally in the audiological industry, they say every sort of 4 or 5 years is to get the fit tested or just get new ones. Yeah. So your ears do. I mean, they say that guys' ears grow bigger than ladies' ears, but I don't know. There's a joke about to combat for selective hearing, but that's not scientifically true. But also I think this is funny enough because I think with musicians, but also I think that historically a lot of men have worked in noisy environments, and this may be where this joke comes from, that historically working in factories and mines and stuff like that, the males were more likely to suffer from noise induced hearing loss. And with noise induced hearing loss, because of the resonant frequency in the auditory canal, you get a damage an octave above that, around the 4 kilohertz, sort of 2, 4, 6 kilohertz bandwidth. And you get a notch in the damage to the sensory hair cells and the cochlea. Now, in our language system, it's all the consonant sounds, f, th, s, k sounds, kind of generally sit in that bandwidth, which is why then if you're in slightly noisy mid-frequency background noise going on, you struggle to focus on what people are hearing. Now, female voices and children's voices are slightly higher up the bandwidth, so that actually makes that problem a little bit worse, which may be, but don't quote me on this, ladies and gentlemen, maybe why that most guys were accused of selective hearing, where in actual fact they were suffering from hearing loss and they just didn't know it.
Yeah, they just were working in the factory.
Do you think it's people have a lack of awareness, or maybe think that hearing can be repaired, that the body repairs it like other injuries? So they think, well, I don't need to worry because I can sort of get my hearing back.
I think it's changing. The internet, social media has changed things in the last 5 years. Definitely, even since COVID, we've seen a massive increase in engagement and traction with people just being more aware about it. Mainly because maybe more people are talking about it online, TikTok, social media platforms, blah blah blah, whatever. But I think, you know, go back five. It's accelerating the awareness and looking at what's happening this week in the press with Tinnitus Awareness Week and various other campaigns, Nighttime Industries Association, various other things with the World Health Organization, making listening safe, about monitoring your dose from listening to music on headphones. So I think it's changing, but I still meet young people that still haven't got a clue that they could be damaging their hearing, which is why I think, going back to the point that recreational and social listening being such a big part of popular culture is why it isn't embedded into the curriculum as it is with drug and alcohol and sex education. It should just be there. At least young people are informed, because we're consuming so much stuff through headphones, earphones, amplified music and sounds and stuff, and going to gigs and clubs is more readily available than it was, you know, decades ago, for sure. It's easier to do that. And we consume so stuff, and we live in a very noisy environment, you know. And, you know, unfortunately, people are out in noisy environments, especially in cities, with badly fitting cheap earphones. And you could be turning it up sort of 10 decibels above background noise just to hear your music properly, which is then when the sound output is damaging your hearing. But manufacturers are changing this, you know. Obviously, Apple are doing, you know, dose meters on that, that you see that, you know, you've been listening to hearing for longer periods of time. So I think there's a change. I think UK has been slower. I think the culture is, they've engaged with it more. It seems to be more commonplace in Europe. I've seen over the last decade, venues would have earplugs available. Some places have to, by law, have them readily available if the sound levels are over a certain decibel level. And I think, yeah, a lot of more musicians are talking about it online. That they've got a problem with their hearing. So yeah, very, very different, and I think it increases. So hopefully, you know, when I started with ACS 10 years ago, and even talking to people in education or even in the music industry, they were like, oh well, you don't worry about that, do you? And I was like, well, you do, because it's affecting my life, and if your ears don't work, neither do you. But, you know, even personally, it's had a big impact on my life, you know. So maybe, you know, you don't worry about it until it kind of happens to you. Mm. We're a long, long, long way forward than we were 10 years ago, for sure. I think also, you know, with what Neil's doing with the drum show, we've always been involved with these MI shows and had a presence there. He's wanting to do more about hearing conservation. I know there's plans for this year at the drum show and at the European drum show in 2025, and we're going to be involved with that. And it's becoming more commonplace. You're going to practice your drums, and drummers are more at risk. You're playing a loud acoustic instrument, and you know, when you start in practicing, wear good quality earplugs so you can still hear the drums, but you can extend your exposure time. And the drums sets the datum sound for all the stage acoustic drums, set the datum level for all the other backline on stage, as we know. So drummers are very important. And also it can be that sound pressure level is the, you know, is where things can start getting a bit dangerous, as we know.
I just wanted to ask if you could, delve into how tinnitus has affected your life.
Can I also jump in with a pre-question to that? And is a bit more of an explanation actually what tinnitus is.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Because I've heard the word, you know, you hear the word and you assume it, but.
Okay. So tinnitus it can be caused by many things, but it's a perceived whistling, buzzing sound in your head. And it's a neurological experience. It doesn't actually exist as a sound. It's a neurological experience in your head that you think you're hearing this sound. So with noise-induced and music-induced, broadband-signaled noise and music-induced hearing loss, where the sensory hair cells are being damaged is that the auditory nerve and the auditory cortex is not working properly, or the messages are getting confused. And also it has been said that it's almost like those sensory hair cells on the – are almost like turning up the gain of that frequency to try and work properly. However, tinnitus can be caused by all sorts of things, problems with the neck. It can be induced more by, you know, people, caffeine, all sorts of things. It can be, you know, various different reasons for tinnitus. But we're talking about music-induced or noise-induced. So, and funnily enough, when you measure it on a sine wave tone generator, is that I hear two octaves. So I do hear around four and about 8.1, which is an octave above, which is funny enough, is that relates to the more heavy, the notch that I've got, 4 kilohertz, whereas those sensory hair cells in the cochlea on that on the membrane have been damaged. So I can see why it's that particular 4/8K whistle that I've got in my head. So normally, well, when you've been exposed to loud sound pressure levels, the sensory hair cells get flattened down, which is why when you come out from a club or from a gig or playing a gig, you have that ringing. But in 12, 24 hours, the sensory hair cells stand up again. Fine, you know, almost like long, you know, grass or wheat or barley in the field, and it gets flattened down by the wind and the rain, and the sun comes out, it stands back up again and dries out, and happy days. But when you keep damaging those sensory hair cells, they die off. So then they don't work properly. So that can induce this kind of whistling or buzzing. It can be a different noise for different people. So that's kind of a brief synopsis of what tinnitus is. So for me, it was waking up the day after having tinnitus, as I would do after every gig. And I was doing 4 gigs a week at least, maybe one day in the studio, some teaching, and then going out if I could. Obviously, most weekends I was gigging, but, you know, so it was music, 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 and then listening to music and stuff like that, headphones or whatever, and having my little studio at home. So, yeah, constant. So the next day there it was, then it was there the next day. And then I think I was going on holiday with my family, and nice to have a bit of a break, you know. And then it was still there, and then it was still there the next day. And it was like, this thing's not going, it's still whistling in my head. It should have gone by now, right? Like that temporary muffledness had gone, but the whistling was still there. So that's when I came back. And then also talking to my wife at the time, and she sort of said, you know, look, go and get a hearing test. Just go and get this checked out, because I noticed that, you know, even in the kitchen or at dinner parties or social, going down the pub or whatever, you're kind of not focusing, or I was disengaging in conversation a little bit because I couldn't really hear what people were saying. And that was it. So went to have a hearing test, and the audiologist did a hearing test, and then they said, well, yeah, and that's what's induced the tinnitus. So I think for me, it was coping with, I mean, if there's other auditory information around, it's not so bad. But I mean, I can still hear it, obviously, talking to you now. And when you talk about it, it obviously is more there, for sure. But the fear was, most people that have tinnitus, is this 6 to 9 months period of like coping with it, really. And then being told that really it's like a bad back. Once you've damaged your back, it will probably always keep coming back, or it'll always be there. You just need to manage it. And the thought of managing this thing, and you know, then struggling to sleep. I wasn't sleeping. I couldn't sleep at night. I had to have the radio. This is before, obviously, iPhone, and you know, I think I had a mini disc player, but also, you know, listening to the radio or having music on so I could distract and try to fall asleep. But of course, when you're sleeping with your wife or your partner, do you know what I mean? Then they've got, you know, so looking at products like these little speaker pillows, or there was white noise generators, but it's not very conducive when you're sleeping in the same room, same bed as someone else. Do you know what I mean? So there was all of that. I didn't sleep for months, and then that sleep deprivation, and then also thinking I can't work in the music. All I ever wanted to do was be a musician. You know, obviously I wanted to be Cozy Powell. You know, I wanted to be a drummer. But I was fortunate enough to be working at the time. Also, I did sessions with the BBC. I did 2 years with the BBC, as well as other things as well. So, you know, living the dream, earning a living from a plank of wood and 4 pieces of wire, and then to think that I couldn't do that anymore was, you know, so depression, not gigging. And of course, once you move out of the scene and dep your gigs out, or you stop doing the sessions, there's always people coming in. So new people coming in. So that was, it was gone. All that work that you build up and those connections, they're all gone. So yeah, 9 months of fucking hell, really, to be honest with you, of I've got to reinvent myself here. Or do I just, you know, go and just do something? I mean, I got really angry. That was it. I was really angry. I was angry at music education, that no one told me about this problem or just to be informed. I was angry at the music industry, that even working freelance at the BBC, that no one had sort of even said anything to. To be fair, those gigs weren't loud, to be fair, but even so. And it was just no one was talking about it. It was just like, I'll just get on with it. Even going to the doctor, you know, it, oh, it's self-inflicted. You just got to cope with it, get on with it. And yet when I delved into, you know, looking at, you know, these charities like Tinnitus UK or the Tinnitus, British Tinnitus Association, as they used to be called back in the day, that people were committing suicide from having tinnitus, you know, because it was just that they couldn't get away from this sound in their head, but also the fact that they, you know, that they realised that their lives through this occupational hazard, that they couldn't necessarily do the one thing that they love. I mean, I think it's different if you're doing a job that, you know, that you, you know, a job, a noisy job, but when your job is your life and the love of your life in the creative arts sector, then, and to be then told that possibly you couldn't do it anymore or your hearing is just going to get worse, you know, it's massive impact. Yeah, big.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's talk about drums and how loud they actually are.
Yes.
Are there any sort of equivalents out there in the world that are the equivalent of how loud a drum kit actually is?
Well, a four-piece drum kit, not even being played sort of heavy metal, really, or, you know, you're looking at sort of low to mid 90 decibel A weighting, really. But also with drums, is there's a lot of impact sounds, and there's impact sounds with all of them are impact sounds, obviously, because you're hitting things. But also this, I remember the frequency damages, the damaging frequencies that you're more susceptible to in the human ear. Snare drum, hi-hats, crash, ride, yeah. And where are they? They're all about this height, yeah. And also just quickly on snare drums, in the 90s, everybody started buying piccolo snare drums. You had to have a piccolo snare drum. And these fucking things were like, it was like gunfire. Bang, 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 bang. You know, everybody had this, and they just cut through. That, you know, it was just everybody. Yeah, everybody seems to have a piccolo snare drum. It was a bit of a.
I had one.
You had one, and then all bass players were playing their bass up really, really high and playing with their thumbs and stuff like that. So there was a lot of impact noises going on. I think also, yeah, with the bass as well, that, you know, the slap bass sort of thing, the you know, these kind of impact bang, 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 and the drums and stuff like that. So you mid-90s. So, okay, let's look at your safe exposure times. And this is in line with the noise at work regulations, but also audiological information about damage to the sensory hair cells and the cochlea. So at 85 decibels, you have approximately 8 hours exposure at a constant 85 decibels. But sound pressure is measured logarithmically. So every 3 decibel increase in sound pressure is twice as loud. It's logarithmic. So 85 to 88, it's twice as loud. So if it's twice as loud, you should safely, really, to be safe, you should half your exposure time. So you've gone 85 to 88, 8 hours, 4 hours. 88 to 91, 2 hours. 91 to 94, 1 hour, you know what I mean? So you go on. So when you get up to sort of the mid-90s, really, it's an hour, half, 30 minutes to an hour is your safe exposure time. So then when you've got backline banging, and then, as we know, our ears get tired, the gig goes on, the guitarist turns up. So the bass player wants to do a solo, so he turns up, he doesn't turn down, the guitarist turns up. Someone signals the vocalist, turn the fold back up because I can't hear my voice properly. The drummer is playing harder. It just goes on and on and on, you know, and after a 45-minute set, it could be 90 dB. Your safe exposure time at 90 decibels is 15 minutes. So when I found this out, and thinking that all the gigs, all the studio stuff, going to gigs, playing gigs, studio, what my safe exposure time was, and it wasn't soft jazz or normal kind of, you know, it was kind of all sorts of things, you know, funk, rock, pop, all sorts of stuff. You know, was I then surprised that I have damaged my hearing? No. So, yeah, so the drums do set the datum in the traditional backline setup. So, yeah, so I think, you know, protecting your ears or taking breaks from playing, and we all know we practice for hours and hours and hours, but you know, when you're sat on top of an acoustic instrument like the drum kit, which is a beautiful instrument for sure, but it's impact sounds at those volumes. I mean, the impact sounds could be slightly louder in terms of sound pressure level than that general average sound of a drum kit. So, yeah. You're in a little practice room, or the acoustics could be really bad. So you're right on top of it. Mm. And you obviously with acoustic instruments, you can't turn it down.
I was going to say quickly, it's interesting we're talking about decibels and noise and exposure time. I've recently seen that my Apple Watch will say, loud volume, don't be too long at this volume, you know, for more than half an hour. But sometimes I don't perhaps think it is as loud as it is, you know, especially, you know, I live in Brighton and, you know, there's always noise, there's traffic, there's whatever. And then you sort of get used to it throughout the day, and then perhaps I'll go in the car and put the radio on, and then you check the watch and it says, this is too loud, and you go, is it? I didn't know. And it's I think perhaps that's, you know, I mean, it is, you know, that's another thing, the modern world, it's busy and it's loud and it's, you know,
it's just noise all the time. I mean, I won't mention any of my friends, but I know when I go around some people's houses, and also if you've got teenage kids as well, the telly's on, then they've got stuff on their phone all the time, or they're on their headphones, or there's just stuff, noise, radio things, people seem to be, it was also like, I feel like sometimes people need to hear, there's the radio on in one room and then there's TV on in the other room, and it's just this constant thing. I'm not saying all people are like that, but, you know, I'll just generalise a little bit, but, you know, we are more, amplified sounds is more, than it used to be, for sure. And then obviously in the cities, you know, can be noisy places. You know, even just traveling on the tube, the Northern Line, notoriously known for being very squeaky.
I was just recently in New York over Christmas, and the subway
screeching. It's painful.
You couldn't wasn't even worth trying to talk. What sort of drum kit, sort of mid-90s, like an acoustic drum kit. And you mentioned sort of cymbal, snare, it's that mid frequency that's doing a lot of the damage. How loud is a being on the tube, equivalent, so we can have a reference point for people, like, or a jet engine, or
working back from that, again, depends how near you are to it, but I mean, you know, jet engine can be sort of 140, you know, decibels a weighting threshold of pain, you know, and work your way down. I mean, it's more constant sound levels, really. Yeah, I mean, an impact sounds are obviously a bit of a problem because they're spikes of sound pressure as well. So gunfire is obviously a problem, and drums are obviously an impact sound as well. So, working back from that, I mean, Google it. There's various, you can see these various different graphs where people will go, oh, an ambulance going past, you know, but again, it's moving away from you. Your exposure of that loud level is only at a certain point. Yeah, pneumatic drill. They're all going to be mid-90s plus at least. I mean, in the noise of work regulations, anything over 85 decibels in the place of work is compulsory issue of hearing protection, which is why, you know, orchestras have to, we do all the BBC orchestras, most of the independent orchestras, they have to supply hearing protection. Royal Opera House orchestras, yeah, because it's over 85 decibels. It's noise at work regulations. So this is where, you know, when you're working in the creative arts industry and everybody's self-employed, that really, and we work with venues, it's the law. They have to supply hearing protection because it's going to be over 85 easy, you know, if you've got any amplified music and sound. Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So, and this is the other thing. Say at a high street level, maybe 87, generally around that. So, yeah, 8 hours, that's fine. But then people are wearing badly fitting earphones, as I think I mentioned earlier, that don't necessarily have the seal integrity. So when you've got a you're listening to a broadband signal of music or whatever stuff, and then you've got noise behind it, you're more often than not, you're turning up your volume of your earphones 10 decibels. So you've gone from 87 decibels, say as an example, to 97.
Wow.
So then you've got your earphone safe exposure level. If you're listening to drum and bass or electronic dance music, you've then got 30 minutes. And funnily enough, I did a lecture at the ELAM, East London Academy of Music and stuff. And this young girl came up to me after the lecture and she said, I think I've got what you've got. I said, how old are you? She said, I've just turned 17. So just started my course, but listening to my headphones all the time, but I'm getting here and taking them off and I've got this ringing in my head. So I said, well, what? She goes, well, I come on the bus, you know, I'm out walking along the high street. And I said, well, how loud do you have it? She said, well, I have to have it full on so I can hear my music properly. And I was thinking, well, you're probably knocking, 97 decibels, you know, your safe exposure. How long does it take to get in? She goes, well, it's about an hour and a half a day coming in and going home again on public transport. So she's doing 3 hours a day at possibly 95, 97 decibels. And she's got 17 years old. And she said, it will go away, won't it? And I was like, I suggest you go and see an audiologist or get your GP to refer you onto an audiologist, have a hearing test to see. I said, but I would seriously think about, you know, turning the volume down. She goes, well, I can't hear the bass properly. I said, well, look, buy some better quality get some headphones. So you've got, you know, a bit more isolation than the earphones. You know, that's what I'd recommend. Wearing headphones, you've got more isolation so you can hear the sounds. You don't have to have it up so loud. Noise cancelling changed my life.
I thought before we did this interview, there'd be a wake up call for me. And I think that is one of perhaps changing to headphones rather than earphones because...
Yeah.
I feel like that's something I do if I'm walking down a busy street and I go, can't quite hear that. I'll turn up a few.
Hear that awesome joke on Drum and Drummer.
We haven't done any drummer joke. I'm trying to think of a drummer joke. I mean, I have to say, guys, and not because I'm in your company, but some of my best friends are drummers. So I don't know, it's been part of the rhythm section, but yeah.
I think it is. We have to stick together.
Drummer jokes. But I always felt, because I always wanted to be a drummer, but I think drummers and bass players, you know, that rhythm section thing, you know, there's always been that kind of thing. But for me, I always wanted to be a drummer. It was, I've got no regrets, don't get me wrong, but you know, that thing was, as a kid, I always wanted to be behind this big, massive kit, you know. And you know, I've always loved drummers, or you know, Cozy Powell to Stuart Copeland to, you know, all of them, you know, especially the jazz fusion sort of drummers. Yeah, always been very interested in drumming and drumming, drummers for sure. So yeah. So what's your best drummer joke?
I mean, there's a bunch. How do you know when a drummer's at the door? He knocks three times and comes in late. That's a good one. I don't know.
Or it's, how do you know that the drum rise is level?
The drool comes out. Yeah, I've heard them all, Jono.
There you go.
How do you make a drummer leave your door? Pay him for the pizza. There's loads.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving from headphones to the products that ACS make and sell, you've got the earplugs and you've got the in-ear monitoring. What are your sort of flagship products, and what's the sort of process to get them? Because you have to go and get there's custom molding and things like that.
Yeah.
So how does that work? And what sort of your number one sort of sellers, really?
Okay. Well, there's a range of different, it's attenuating hearing protection, so it doesn't block out everything. So there's a range of different linear filtered attenuating filters that fit into the custom earpiece. And depends on what instrument you play, what noisy or musical environment you're going to be in. So we do a 10, 15, 17, 20 and 26, you know, a kind of music range. We're very proud of the Pro 17. It has an almost flat frequency response, so it's just like turning the volume down completely flat frequency wise. Very popular with music lovers, consumer music lovers, and DJs, sound engineers, guitarists, etc., etc. So vocalists or brass and woodwind players maybe need a little bit less attenuation because they get more of the occlusion effect as you attenuate the sound levels going through the ear, so maybe 10 or 15. But drummers, the Pro 20 was developed more with more protection in that 2, 4, 6, 8 kilohertz bandwidth, which is where all those impact mid to high frequency impact sounds are. So, so the Pro 20 was preferred by more drummers, but some drummers like to hear a little bit more. Sometimes now, you know, they're hearing more of a general mix on stage, so they'll probably go for maybe a Pro 17. So for drummers, I would suggest, but again, it could be, you know, I don't know what sort of hearing loss you've already got. First things first, I'd advise any musician and drummers, there you go.
There you go.
To get a hearing test, go to Boots Hearing Care Centres or a Spec Savers and just say, I'm concerned about my hearing, I'm a drummer, I'm a musician, can I have a hearing test? You get one for free. Get a print out of your audiogram so you know what you're dealing with. And some people are a bit reluctant to do this, a bit scared to do this, but I think it's good. If you value your hearing and if you're a working musician, or even get on the Musician's Hearing Health Scheme, but if you're, you know, maybe a semi-professional musician, you can't get on that, you value your hearing, go and get hearing tests. And then that can help us make a decision on what level of attenuation that you're going to have. But I would say for drummers, the Pro 17 or the Pro 20 is the one to go for. So you can buy those online. Very simple process. Click, click, click. Bing, buy online. We send you a voucher, which you can then go onto our website, type in your postcode, and it will tell you the nearest partner audiologist that can take the ear molds or the ear impressions. Phone them up. Contact them, make an appointment, go and get your ears molded. They send them direct to ACS. We then create a 3D model of your ear from that model or mold of your ear, and then 3D print a cast of that to actually then make the earpiece. Plus, we keep your ears on file in 3D. So if you lost them or needed anything else, we can remake it from the 3D model we've kept of your ears. However, we would suggest getting the fit tested every 4 or 5 years because your ears, as we said, continues to grow and change shape. About 10 days, 2 weeks later, your lovely custom earplugs will turn up in the post, recorded delivery. And then you've got a fit warranty. So if you have any, most people, 99.9% of the time, don't have any problems at all. But again, everybody's ears are different. You know, the where the cartilage finishes, we always go up to the second bend. So some people might want them shortened or slightly modified. Most of the time, more often than not, don't have to do anything with them. And ours are a soft medical grade silicone, so they're more comfortable to wear. And also, as you move your mouth, whether you make really funny facial expressions when you're playing the drums or you're singing, the seal integrity will be maintained because it will move with the auditory canal as you move your face or your jaw. Sometimes we do an open jaw impression, depends. But if you have any problems, we've got a 60-day warranty on that. And also the filters, which are interchangeable. If you find that you start gigging or rehearsing and find that it's not enough or it's too much, you can always step down in level of filter. But we suggest start higher and then work down. That's the best way to go. So even, you know, a Pro 20 gives you an average SNR of 20 decibel reduction. So 100 decibels, that's taking you down to 80. So that's well over 8 hours with a Pro 20 earplug. Even a Pro 17, 17 decibels will take it down to 83. So again, you've still got well over 8 hours. You don't need much more than that. So I would say 15, 17 or 20 are the ones in the range that I would recommend. But if you're a really heavy sort of drummer, then I would say the Pro 20 is the one to go for, which we see a lot of drummers go for.
And is it the same process and the same filters for the in-ear monitoring as well?
In-ear monitors, we don't have filters in them apart from our ambient range. So two types of in-ear monitors, a full conture, full moulding of the ear to give complete isolation. And then we have an ambient version, which it has a hole in it. It's a vented in-ear monitor, because the problem with in-ear monitoring has always been that people feel a bit isolated, or singers get too much occlusion. They're hearing their head voice in the head from the low frequency energy from the voice box all resonating in the head, brass woodwind players as well. So other manufacturers started drilling holes or having a hole to let this low frequency energy out, but also have a bit of ambient sound of the on stage sound level coming in. And also they wanted to hear their adoring fans cheering and screaming at them and stuff like that. But also as a drummer, you know, when you're stuck at the back of the stage, when you've got in-ear monitors on, it can be a bit isolating, and on-stage communication can be a bit of a problem. So other manufacturers have done this, but when you drill a hole in a closed speaker system like that, especially with balanced armature speakers, miniature little speakers, which I'll talk about in a moment, you lose a lot of the low-end stuff. So they sounded really thin, and lacking in bass presence. So what we did is design a similar to our membrane technology filter we have for our Pro Custom Series earplugs, is a filter that stops a little bit of sound coming in, but also acts as a bass trap to stop that low frequency energy coming out. So we developed a vented in-ear monitor system that has a complete flat frequency response from 500 hertz down to 20 hertz, which is fantastic. I think it's one of the best sound invented in ear monitors on the market at the moment in the world. Plus there's three levels of filters for that. So an ultra low, a low and a high. So again, depending on what sort of music or how much kind of ambient surround sounds you want to let in, as well as have so a little bit of protection, but also so you can hear your monitor mix. Yeah, they're great. A lot of bands are going over to this. So the silent stage setup, more so less backline or no backline on stage. Or going over to electronic drums. But the only problems with the vented ones is that, you know, bigger bands or some of our sort of heritage acts that still have a lot of backline on stage, it kind of counteracts the benefits of having in-ear monitoring, really, because you know, you're hearing your backline as well as the monitor mix. And if you're on bigger stages, you can get phasing issues or a slight latency, especially on these stadium or, you know, kind of festival stages. But so that's the two, ambient or the classic. So complete isolation or a bit of ambient awareness. Drummers like that as well, because they don't have to have so much banging through the side fills or the monitors next to the drums. So they have less mix in their in-ear monitors, because they can hear a bit of the actual kit coming straight into their ears. So a lot of drummers have gone over to using the ambient series. And also the fact that if anything changes or the set changes, they can turn around and say to the drummer, blah, 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 and you will still hear them and not go, what? And obviously get caught out. So on stage communication is really good.
The in-ears, they're still offering hearing protection as well as monitor.
Yeah. I mean, the classic will, full isolation, you're probably getting about 30, 32 decibel attenuation out of here. Obviously then, so that's better. So your monitor mix can be lower. With the ambient, the low filters are a 9 decibel, a 17 or 24 decibel. Most people go for the low or the 17, so they can still be in the room a little bit and hear what's going on.
Yeah, with the different filters, whether you get just the earplugs or the in-ears, like does it come with all the different filters or do you have
to... No, it comes with one set. Yeah, you can buy other filters. You can, yeah, but the retail cost comes in with one set of filters, yeah. So we suggest buy one earplug with one set of filters, see how you get on. But there, you know, there's a lot of session guys that, you know, might be doing a heavy rock gig, so they might be using a 17, and then it might be a quiet jazz, folky gig, and they maybe then use a 10 filter for that, you know, Pro 10 filter for those type of gigs because it's just quieter. So yeah, but it's more about and I'm, you know, you look at ACS and how we don't market ourselves. It's not like buy more earplugs, you're going to die. Your hair is going to, you know, you're going to be deaf for the rest of your days. It's really much the partnerships, and where we're coming from is about raising awareness about, you know, protecting your ears in the right way. And also if you can give your ears a break, or if you don't have to wear any personal protective equipment, then fantastic. But if you do, and you do need to, and if you are serious about sound, there you go, got that one in, then, you know, use good quality hearing protection. It's a false economy for you and your ears. And if your ears don't work as a professional musician, then neither do you. I mean, if I could go back and do it all again, if I could go back 35 years and do it all again, in-ear monitors all day long.
Who's your favourite delivery company?
Who's my what?
Favourite delivery company.
Oh, I'd like to say Royal Mail.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because my postman is very good and he's very, very friendly. And other delivery companies just knock on the door and leave the parcel in the rain and run away. And also, I would say that some online purchasing applications, they're not that bothered. And whoever delivers it just delivers it to number 6, but the road around the corner because they think it's the right address. So I would say God bless the Royal Mail. Now, I know this could be a little bit controversial at the moment, considering what's happened in the press, but I think in terms of the delivery service, and God bless our postal service, they know the area. They know where all the little places are. So I would say the Royal Mail. However, we use APC, I think it is, okay, for couriers. So, yeah. Does that answer? Or was it supposed to be delivery as in, like, takeouts and...
No, it's stuff. Whatever you want it to be. Originally, people always said DPD and things like that, and then someone once went Uber Eats and changed it, and, you know, and they said... Can I do food? So we can do what you can do what you want, you know.
Yeah.
I think we all find comfort with a certain provider who brings something to our house, and it can be food, it can be Royal Mail, it can be we like to leave it open and see what people what springs to mind.
Mm. Yeah. Let the shock pass of the last question where they go, what?
Yeah. The completely unrelated question.
I've never really used supermarket delivery stuff. I did in lockdown, and funnily enough, and that was, you know, it was a terrible time for all of us, wasn't it? COVID, and this guy knocked on the door and retreated like 5 meters, and I sort of just had a chat with him, and I said, "Oh," and he goes, "Oh, I just started doing this deliveries for Morrison's." Well, what did you do? Oh, musician.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, mate." So I got chatting with him. He said, "Yeah, no gigs and stuff." I mean, it was awful, awful. Yeah. Yeah, awful times, we know. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Informative.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. It was exactly
as you can tell. I will. I could. I talk for England, people laugh. It's like, get Jono talking about hearing. Well, anything really, but more about hearing. I'm very passionate about it because, I mean, it's been part of my life. And, you know, I feel very fortunate enough that I've managed to turn it around to try and help other musicians. And, I think what ACS has done, and the brand is very strong, partly because of, I think, that we are a caring company, or the people that work for us really care about what we do. We've kind of become the SM58 or the SM57 of microphones, but in earplug world, basically. And it continues to grow, and we just want to protect people's hearing so they don't end up like me and the other people I work with, you know. So yeah.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Well, look, let's make a date at the drum show this year. if you guys are coming up, but that'd be good. And then, you know, pop by the stand and maybe get a little chat, and we can do another little something for social media there as well.
Yeah, so, definitely.
That'd be great.
Yeah, sure. Looks like we're going back to Liverpool, Ben.
Let's do it.
Yeah, come for a night out in Liverpool. Yeah.
Yeah, we will.
So, a nice quiet night out.
Yeah, it's quite a night out. Yeah, cool.
Nice one.
Awesome. Right. Yeah, thank you so much, Jono. Pleasure.
You're welcome. Well, lovely talking to you guys, and good luck with everything. And keep in touch. And if you need anything, give us a shout. Yeah. And if anybody else needs more information about ACS, you know, obviously hit us up on acscustom.com. Or have a look at our socials on Instagram at ACS Custom and Facebook if anybody's still uses it. But yeah.
See you later. Thanks, mate.
Cheers. Bye. Bye-bye.
There we go.
That was our chat with Jono. Very informative.
Yeah, quite sobering, I think, as well.
Well, I said in it, I feel like there was going to be something that I'd learn or hear, if you pardon the pun, that I went, And I think my thing was turning up my earbuds when listening to music whilst walking down the street. I do that all the time, you know? And I think the tinnitus chat, we asked him about his life dealing with tinnitus, and I hope... Perhaps it was maybe some of this is a wake-up call to people that don't use hearing protection, because it's that thing of you don't know the damage you're doing until it is too late. So
yeah, and I think that's important. And then it really is too late.
Yeah. Like, there's so many things you can get a new thing. You can get a new heart, new kidneys, you know, but your ears, you know.
Yeah, sometimes just for fun.
Just for fun, just for bants, you know.
Just, you know, go and get a kidney Friday night.
That'll yeah. I've drank loads over the weekend. I'm going to get a new liver, you know what I mean? Whereas ears, you can't do that.
You know, you talked about exposure time and decibels, and it you know, not long before it gets down to a point where you could only really have 15 minutes.
Yeah, that exposure, was fascinating.
And
that
we're going and doing two-hour shows, you know, at weddings. And I know it's definitely something I've been, I'll admit it, very slack on.
Yeah.
You know, hearing protection. I'm very aware when mixing, I mix at low levels, you know. I know because I have to mix for long periods of time. But drums, I've just been of that attitude of like, but I want to hear the drums. Like I want to, especially if I'm just playing on my own or something, or like, switching to in-ears. Is doing something for me, but I am just using normal sort of headphones, so they're not really doing much. But I am needing less, you know, from a floor wedge or anything like that, because I'm getting in my ears. But I need to go and sort this out.
Yeah.
And I need to go and properly get on that path. And it is something I am going to go and do.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I did it and I was terrified before doing it. Because of the hearing test, I was really worried, because I've been struggling with my hearing leading up to that, and I was like, it's because I fucked it, you know, I've been playing drums. Turns out it was just, there was, you know, a candle of wax in my ears, and as soon as they pulled it out, then I did a hearing test, and I've been able to hear better ever since, and thankfully my hearing was all normal. I think there was a slight drop off at the last, or the highest frequency perhaps on my left ear, but other than that it was all good. But I was worried, you know. Because I thought, well, what am I going to find out? Are they going to not bollock me, but go like, you've really fucked this up, you know? And I think that's perhaps a worry amongst musicians. What if you know? What if I have some serious damage and it's just going to get worse? And that's what they tell me. But yeah, go and do it. Do the thing I did. I'll put a link on the podcast.
Say
do this, because that's how I found out about it. A bunch of my muso mates did it, and then I did it, and it's.
And so it was ears cleaned, hearing test.
Yeah, if you're a member of the Musicians Union, it is £42, including postage of your new in-ears, not in-ears, earplugs. That's not including ears clean, that's £50. But, my God, £50 to be able to hear again, you know, and have your ears cleaned is pretty good. Yeah, I'll post that because it's the most important thing.
Yeah. And I think, just whatever you do. I think even as well, just realising actually, like, how much you just turn headphones up.
Yeah.
And how, you know, with the ease of portable devices, iPhones, headphones, that you are just constantly listening to shit.
Yeah.
And actually, like you say, walking down a busy road and you crank your headphones up to compensate.
Yeah.
It ain't good for you. No. And it is something you need to think about. And especially as drummers, we need to think about it. And I personally need to go and think about it and actually do something about it.
Yeah.
Which I am going to do. But yeah, what a fascinating chat. And he was right, definitely the man to speak to about it. Go check out ACS, see what they have to offer. Mm. But even if it's not ACS, just protect your hearing.
Yeah, wear plugs. You know.
Just got to do something. But get in touch as always. Email, Instagram, Twitter.
I mean, if you've got any stories of hearing loss or tinnitus or anything, you know, it would be fascinating to know. I know we've got a lot of older listeners, who perhaps could tell us of, I don't know, warn us about the dangers of it and everything. But email in with what you got.
Tell us the loudest thing you've ever heard.
Yeah.
I'd love to know.
Yeah.
But safely.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get out of here, George.
Yep.
We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Drum and Drummer. You can find us on Instagram at Drum and Drummer Podcast. And you can send us an email to drumanddrummerpod@gmail.com. Remember, just pick up the sticks and twat it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.